Wow. We could just all go home now. We're not, but we could. That was powerful, Mandy. Thank you for sharing your beautiful gift. What a blessing. Powerful. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you. I just ask that that song would continue to live in our hearts and our lives, and that as we get ready to step into a new year, we would do it with renewed vigor, knowing that Jesus is on our side. And his name is the name above all other names. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide us, direct us, open our eyes, open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Peace Be With You. Peace Be With You. The story we're going to look at is in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20:12 says, "For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Have you ever felt the powerlessness of life? Times when you just felt absolutely powerless. Moments when the hordes of life are coming at you and you don't know what to do. And, you know, maybe it's not a horde of soldiers, but it's a horde of debt. Maybe it's not a horde of debt, but it's a horde of problems and a horde of pain. And I'm sure we've all got some sort of horde that's coming at us today. You see, the enemy wants to get us so overwhelmed by the obstacles that we're facing. The bill collectors keep calling and the family members that keep struggling, and that we forget that God is still in the business of saving. God is still in the business. No opposition can keep God from his mission. Mandy's life is a testament to that. What the enemy meant for bad, God is going to use for good. And so the devil wants to psych you out this year. Before you even get to 2020, the devil is wanting to get up into your head. In a world controlled by fear, God wants a church controlled by faith. And that's why I believe God put "do not be afraid" in the Bible 365 times. That's right, 365 times. That's a "do not be afraid" for every single day of 2020. Do not be afraid. God's always telling his people, do not be afraid. And that's the key. We shouldn't be afraid if God is on our side. But God is with us. Who can be against us? God, if God is with us, then peace is with us. Peace be with you. 2 Chronicles 21, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to wage war against the Jehoshaphat and Judah. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. He was a contemporary of Ahab, who was the king of Israel at this time. That both the kingdoms struggled with idolatry. Both of them had some lousy kings. Israel was a little worse than Judah, but Jehoshaphat was one of the few good kings that Judah had. And according to Chronicles 20:11, the reason these nations were always invading Israel is they wanted to rob them of the inheritance that God had promised them. I hope you know the reason the devil has been invading you so much this year is because he wants to do the same thing to your life. He wants to rob you of the inheritance that God has promised you. He wants to rob you of your calling. He wants to rob you of your hope. He wants to rob you of all the good things that God has for you. The devil wants to do the same thing to you. 2 Chronicles 23, it says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. You know, we live in a broken world, and if you're not a little bit afraid of this next year, then you're a fool. It's not an issue of being afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Courage, as we know, is not the absence of fear, but it's walking through the fear in spite of the fear. One of my favorite acronyms, because it's the way you respond to the fear that really matters. One of my favorite acronyms, FEAR, you know, is face everything and recover, or forget everything and run. We usually forget everything and run. And the devil's been getting us with this from the very beginning. The first people on the earth, Adam and Eve, the moment we messed up, man, we went on the run, didn't we? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam and Eve forgot everything and they ran. Should have ran to God, but they start running from God. In John 20:19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. You know, what's really crazy about this, they forgot everything and ran. I mean, how many times did Jesus have to tell them, I'm going to rise on the third day. I'm going to rise on the third day. I'm going to rise on the third day. How many times does God have to tell you, I've got you, for you to stop forgetting everything and running away? And so they're here. They're hiding. They should have been at the tomb waiting for Jesus when he woke up. You see, that's what fear does to the church. The devil knows if he can get into your head, he will beat you before the battle even begins. But hallelujah, this verse doesn't stop with this, with the fear. In Genesis, God did not leave Adam and Eve in their shame, but he comes and he finds them. Here in John, Jesus does not leave the disciples to cower in the corner of their house. No, the Bible says that Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I want you to remember that text, John 20:19. What year are we leaving? 2019. I had a member bring this to me after I preached at first service, and man, they made the connection. The Holy Spirit is pretty awesome, amen? And I didn't even make this connection. And then he connected the 2019 with today's sermon in 2 Chronicles 20:20. God is good, amen? Today, God wants to transform your fear into faith. Because the biggest thing getting in the way of you and the goals God has for your life and living a victorious life is your fear. So God wants to turn your fear into faith today. The first step in letting God turn your fear into faith is we've got to seek God. The first thing we have to do is seek God. Notice, what does Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat was afraid. And then he set his face to seek the Lord. Friends, you can't face anything until you're facing God. That was a lousy amen for that statement. Now, I'll forgive you this time, but you cannot face anything until you're facing. You see, Christians face their battles by facing God. And that's why before you leave the house, you need to hit your knees. Before you get in the car, you need to be in prayer. Before you on your way to work, on your way back from work, while you're at work, before you open your mouth, man, I whisper a prayer to God. I tell God, Lord, make sure my words are better than my silence. And if they're not, help me keep my mouth shut. And hallelujah, I've been taking God up on that more and more. The older you get, the more you realize that what you got to say just really isn't that important. My political view is not going to change the world, and neither is yours. But hallelujah, God can change a life. God can change the world. Jehoshaphat, he turned his fear into faith because he set his face to seek the Lord. You know, that word, that simply means, that's the biblical language for Jehoshaphat gave God his attention. Does God have your attention today? What has your attention? Do your problems have your attention? Do the crazy people in your family have your attention? You know, it's holidays are over, and some of us are celebrating that in more ways than just the presents, right? The best present is that it's over. But what it has your attention, you know, it's after Christmas, so we're all broke, right? Spent a whole lot of money we didn't even have. What has your attention? What has your attention? The moment Jehoshaphat hears of the opposition, he has a decision. Will my fear or God get my attention? Will God or my fear get my attention? Whenever something happens, that is your decision. When you mess up, you have a decision. Am I going to focus on the sin or am I going to focus on my Savior? Too many people focus on the sin. You focus on the sin and you're just going to be overwhelmed with your sinfulness. You focus on the Savior and you will know there is no way I can't be saved with Christ on my side. Parents, when you experience the pain of raising teenagers, you have a decision to make. Are you going to focus on the pain or are you going to focus on God's power to change? God's doing a work in their lives you wouldn't believe even if he told you. When we turn on the news, we have a decision to make, church. We either let them feed on our fear or we're going to start feeding on the Word of God. Seek God in everything. Feed on his word. You see, Jehoshaphat set his face to seek the Lord. He made a decision to turn his face towards God. The word seek in Hebrew, this is really powerful. Do you know this word for seek? It is actually a word that can mean worship. And so seeking God is an act of worship. When we worship, we seek God. If we did more worshiping, we would do a whole lot less worrying. And that's why I'm always bugging you to get to church. That's why I'm always bugging you. You know, that's why God gave us the Sabbath. That's why God gave us his word. That's why, man, God gave us the ability to worship. Why I'm encouraging you to come out to the New Year's Eve communion service. Why I'm going to be harassing you to come to the Revelation series. Because seeking God doesn't happen by accident. You got to make a decision. Don't make some New Year's resolution. You got to just make a decision to follow God, to give him more of your heart, to seek his face every single day of your life. Amen. It doesn't happen by accident. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then the next verse says, therefore, do not be anxious about anything. Whatever you know, God, whatever you need, God knows what it is. So what has your attention today? What are you facing? Some of us are facing some serious issues as we step into the new year. But let me tell you, you've got to face those problems while facing God. 2 Chronicles 20:12, it says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Church, when you lose your job, before you clean up your resume and start making phone calls, you need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. When you don't know what to do with that child of yours, you got to just go ahead and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Before you call the pastor, make sure you've called Christ in prayer. Got marital problems? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. When the battle gets rough and you don't know what to do, that's the cue to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Start facing your problems while facing God. Turn to God. Seek his face. Turn your face towards his. Our second step in turning our fear into faith is confession. So first, it was got to seek the Lord. Second, it's confession. All right? Confession. Not only did Jehoshaphat seek God, but he got honest with God. Because you see, friends, without getting honest, worship is worthless. It's a charade. It's a joke. You want to know what the number one name that Jesus had for the Pharisees? Hypocrites. You know what hypocrites means? It's translated in its simplicity. It's actor. You guys are fake. You're actors. You come in and you act one way, but you go out and you live another way. You're an actor. If you're not being real, worship is a real waste of time. In fact, worship actually hurts you if you're not getting real with God. Because you see, it feeds the denial. It gives you this feeling that, you know what? I'm going to church. I haven't missed church all this last couple of months. I'm doing pretty good. Worship is a waste when you're not being real. It can work against you. So confession is key. And this is the thing about confession. Confession is not for God's benefit. God knows everything you think before you think it. God knows what you're going to do. God's not surprised that you messed up this last week. God's not surprised. So confession is not for God's benefit. Confession is for your benefit. Man, there's some of us have been carrying stuff around this last year, and we're just tired. Man, confess. Get rid of it. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, no one needed to tell him about human nature. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is the thing about confession. We don't just confess to be forgiven. We confess in order to be free. We don't just confess to be forgiven. We have to confess for freedom. And that's why in the 12 steps of AA, there's this step on making amends. It's one of the hardest steps that you can make. And I talk a little bit about it in my book. Some of you have been reading it. And I talk a little bit about making amends. It's not easy. But really, the amends isn't about, and if you have a good sponsor, they'll tell you, don't go into the amends expecting they're just going to throw their arms around you and say, oh, I forgive you, and don't worry about what happened, because that may or may not happen. You don't seek amends for that. You seek amends to keep your side of the street clean. You make amends because it's the right thing to do, regardless of how they react. And that's why you make amends. We don't make amends in order to get people to forgive us. We do it so that we can forgive ourselves. The biggest person I believe most of us need to forgive is ourselves. God has forgiven you the first time you prayed that prayer. You keep bringing it up like hundreds of times. It's you who haven't forgiven you. Confession. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You see, Jehoshaphat knew he needed help. Just in case you didn't know, you need help. You need help. We all need help. 2 Chronicles 20:12 says, we are powerless against this great horde. Man, that's one of the most powerful statements Jehoshaphat could have made. We are powerless against this great horde. First step is in recovery is we admitted we were powerless over our sinful nature and our lives had become unmanageable. And now that statement is not a statement of weakness. That is a statement of power. Because you are recognizing your weakness. And Paul tells the church in Corinth that my power is made perfect in weakness. And so the sooner you can admit your weakness, the sooner God can step in with his power. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and flee from you. Friends, those are in order for a reason. Too often we want to jump straight to the resist the devil. But if you jump straight to the resist the devil without submitting to God, you won't resist the devil. The devil is going to whoop up on you. He's going to chew you up. He's going to spit you out. You want the devil to flee, you got to submit to God first. You got to confess to God. Let Jesus. And then when you come to God and say, I can't, but you can. And so I'm going to let you in my life. I'm going to let you in that situation. Man, you invite Christ into your life and he'll chase the devil out of your life like he chased the devil out of heaven. Confession. Man, if we relied more on God's faithfulness than our own power, look, we wouldn't have to ask him for so much forgiveness. And look, we can go to God for forgiveness all day long. But you know what? If you relied more on God's faithfulness and power, you wouldn't have to ask for so much forgiveness. You wouldn't do things in which required you to ask for so much forgiveness. You got to depend on his power. Confess your weaknesses. Man, in 2020, I want to live the type of life that I don't have to apologize for. You know? Back in the day, years ago, in addiction, man, I was constantly saying, I'm sorry. One day my wife just said, you are sorry. She was right. I was, but hallelujah. Then God stepped into my life and he picked me up and he turned me around and he set my feet on solid ground. When I was willing to get honest and real with God was the moment God stepped into my life and began working in a mighty way. For years, Jehoshaphat had been building up his armies and fortifying his cities. For a very long time, Jehoshaphat had been making preparations for this day to come. 2 Chronicles 17, 12, and 13 says that he grew steadily greater. He built in Judah's fortresses. He had soldiers. He had mighty men of valor. Check out all these things that Jehoshaphat had. 300,000 mighty men of valor, 280,000, 200,000 mighty men of valor, 200,000 men armed with bow and shield, another 180,000 armed for war. That's a good army. He's still scared though, because he knows no matter how great the armies of Judah were, Jehoshaphat knows they're not great enough for this battle. Which is why at the time of the invasion, Jehoshaphat doesn't put his trust in his preparation. He puts it in God's provision. Instead of putting your faith and trust in your preparation, put it in God's provision. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how long you've been in the Adventist church. I don't care how many letters you have by your name, how many degrees you got. I don't care what your bank account balance is or how many church positions you have. When the enemy invades you, if you're trusting in your preparation instead of in his provision, you're dead. You're dead. Now, it doesn't mean we don't make preparation. I'm a big believer in preparing. Preparation is a good thing, because without preparation, we fall into presumption. Preparation is good. Just never forget John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can have all the greatest preparation in the world. You can do all this, but it's not enough in the battle that's coming. Isaiah 64:6 says that we are all sin-infected, sin-contaminated. Our best efforts are grease-stained rags. We need God, friends, more than ever. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. You see, we can't fight the devil's invasions with our own resources and with our own righteousness and with our own power. We've got to start fighting the enemy with God's righteousness, God's resources, God's power. Romans 3:24 says, because we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, when you can admit you're a sinner, then Jesus will become your Savior. When you can admit that when you can admit your mistakes, God can take your mistakes and turn them into miracles. You see, Jehoshaphat knew he didn't have what it takes. And so he proclaims a fast throughout all of Judah. Do you want to know what the purpose of fasting is? It's not so you can tell people you're fasting and make yourself sound holier than everyone else. Hey, do me a favor. If you're fasting, don't tell anyone you're fasting. Don't tell me you're fasting. I mean, praise the Lord that you're fasting, but you don't need to talk about it. Praise God. That's between you and him. Amen? But fasting isn't so that we can say, look at me, I'm fasting. Fasting, it basically means it's a symbolic act of resting in God's strength instead of your strength. And the word fasting in the Bible literally means one who is empty. You see, the Holy Spirit can't fill some of our lives because they're already filled with ourselves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can't fill our lives because we're so filled with ourselves or we're filled with something else. Man, you got to let the Holy Spirit step into your life and make a little bit of room for the Holy Spirit to move. That's the purpose of fasting. God's going to empty you so that he can fill you. When Jehoshaphat started confessing, that's when he started winning. Friends, if we would start getting real to God about our spiritual condition, that's when we'll experience salvation. That's when we'll experience victory over the battles that maybe we're fighting on a day-to-day basis. Man, for every weakness that I'm willing to admit, I'm giving the Holy Spirit permission to step into my life and give me the power of God to make up for that weakness. When I admit and confess my weaknesses to God, it's like pouring gasoline on a flame, the Holy Spirit, and he just becomes a raging fire. The more I can admit I can't, that's when God steps in, and hallelujah, he can. But we got to get honest. We got to start confession. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply every need according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us into his own glory and excellence." Romans 8:1 says, "Now there is for now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There is power in confession. 2 Chronicles 20:15 through 17. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is powerful. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation on the Lord on your behalf. You see, friends, God takes the attacks on us personal. When the enemy attacks you, he's attacking him. He identifies with our pain. God, our problems become God's problems. Our battles become his battles. 2 Corinthians says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has so identified with you that he became like you in flesh and blood. Your sins he allowed to be put on him so he could most perfectly identify with you and rescue you from yourself. This is the bottom line, friends. Salvation has never been our battle. It has always been God's battle. Salvation has never been your battle. It has always been God's battle. So you have nothing to fear because God wins every battle that he fights. Peace be with you because Christ has got you. Seek him. Confess to him. And last point, praise him. How can God turn your fear into faith? You got to praise him. Check this out. He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever." You see, friends, the world won't endure forever. People's approval doesn't last forever. The problems that you're facing won't last forever. The cancer, the pain, the heartache won't last forever. But the good news is that God's love endures forever. So check this out. These guys, the armies are going out to do battle. They're going out to do war. And as they begin to, and they're singing, they're praising God, they're worshiping, and they sing and praise. And the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The moment you start praising is the moment you'll start seeing God ambush your enemy. God will start ambushing him from all directions. He'll step in such a powerful way. This is why Solomon said, "Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life." If you're always defeated and you're always negative, you shouldn't be surprised when you feel like your circumstances in life are always defeated and negative. If you're constantly complaining, there shouldn't be a surprise that life has become unbearable for you. You see, the smartest guy, Solomon was the smartest guy that ever lived and the dumbest guy that ever lived. But Solomon Smartest guy, be careful what you think because those thoughts run your life. You want to turn your fear into faith? Instead of worrying, start worshiping. Instead of complaining, start praising. In fact, when you study Revelation, a little sneak peek for the series coming up, when you study Revelation, you find it's written in a chiasm, and the center of a chiasm is the thesis of the book, and the center of that book is the three angels' message, which is the climax of Revelation, and the essence of Revelation, the central theme of that three angels' message is praise and worship. You see, Jehoshaphat and his army, they go into battle worshiping God, and so do we. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." You see, our peace is in direct proportion to our praise. We are a product of our praise. In Revelation 12:11 says that they conquered him with what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. We're going to win this battle, but we're going to win it with our worship. You're not going to win this battle with your money. You're not going to win it with your job. You're not going to win it with your good works. You're not going to win it with your good looks. You're not going to win it with your talent. You're not going to win it with your brains. And some of us are thinking, praise the Lord. You're going to win this war with worship. See, the reason some of us don't ever have peace is because we don't know how to praise. We couldn't praise our way out of a paper bag. We got to learn how to praise God. And they only praise God when things go their way. But if you only praise God when things go your way, then you're not really praising God. You're praising God. You're praising your plans for God. Stop praising your plans for God. If God lets you have your way, you'd walk straight to hell. And so because God loves you, he's going to help get through your thick skull to wake you up and turn you around and set your feet on solid ground. And you got to be able to praise him. It's easy to praise God after the victory. That's easy. But we need to have the kind of faith, Christians, that we can praise God before we have victory. That's what Jehoshaphat's doing. Judah praised God. The battle was won in before they won the battle. And it was in the process of praising that God gave them victory. And so today, friends, on this threshold of a new year, I want you to go ahead and praise God for the job you still don't have. I want you to praise him for the spouse who still hasn't changed. I want you to praise him for the battles that you're still fighting. I want you to praise him for the kids who are still struggling. I want you to praise him that even though your family are struggling with cancer, start praising today that one day there will be no more disease. One day there will be no more death. He's going to wipe the tears away from your eyes. Death will be no more. Praise him today. Stop judging God by your circumstances and start judging your circumstances by God's love. If he brought you to it, it's because he believes you can do it. If he let it happen, it may not have been a part of his plan, but his grace is sufficient to get you through it. On the cross, Christ did all the work of winning this war for you. Any work that needs to be done to get you a place in heaven, Christ did on Calvary. He did all the work. He said, "It is finished." You don't finish nothing. Jesus finished it for you. So if Christ did all the work, what can I do? I can praise him. John 5:4, it says, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, friends, God wants us to marching into battle with a song in our hearts and praise on our lips. Come ye that love the Lord, let your joys be known. Join in a song of sweet accord and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, into the beautiful city of God. Friends, this next year, when the hordes of life come at you, and they're coming, don't fear. Peace be with you, because Christ is living in you. We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you that although very often in life we don't know what to do, hallelujah, our eyes are on you. Lord, I pray that each person here might renew that commitment to you. That, Lord, we won't just make another New Year's resolution. You won't be just another resolution on a sheet of paper, but you will become our all-consuming object of love and loyalty. You will not become one of our objectives. You will become our objective. That spending time with you, seeking you, that, Lord, we can't face any of our problems without first facing God. That we will seek you in everything. Lord, I pray that we will learn the true freedom and beauty of confession, that we will come to you and we will share everything, that we will find people in the church that we can trust, that we know we can trust, and we'll be willing to confess to them so that we can experience the freedom, that those resentments we've been carrying around and those issues we've been, those grudges we've been holding on to, Lord, that today we will let those go. We will confess them to you. We will make our amends, and we will experience the freedom of forgiveness. Finally, Lord, I pray in a mighty way that we would learn to praise you more. That one day, just as your servant, Lord, who was taken into captivity, sold into slavery by his own family, could say that you meant this for harm, but God intended it for good. That one day we'll be able to say the same thing. For every hardship we went through, you turned around on the enemy and you used it to defeat him in our life. Maybe some people here haven't given you all of their life. I pray today will be the day they do it. I pray no one will leave this place without giving you all of their heart, inviting you into their life, saying all to Jesus, I surrender. And we will praise you as we march to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We long for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.